And Ron asked me if I would preach today, and I you know, it is an honor to stand here and talk about God and read His Word. We're studying today in a series called Better. This is the second sermon in this series. And we all like better, right? What is better? The world would say that more is better. Would y'all agree with that? If I got $10 in my pocket, 20 would be better, right? If I have one car, two cars, it's better, right? The world views things a little differently than Christians do, supposedly. But it's easy to fall into that scenario with them because we get caught up in that vacuum. We get caught up in the things that more is better. I saw a shirt on a guy's back years ago, and it said, "He's that got the most toys wins." So that puts us in a mindset that we have to achieve so much. We have to have so much. If you've got a three-car garage, four is better. But we're into the lessons of life when we see those things. Because if you have three cars, that's three times the cars you have to wash. That's three sets of tires. That's three insurance premiums that you're paying. So sometimes more is not better. I learned this lesson many years ago. My grandmother was sickly, and she very often had to go to the doctors at Concord. And we stayed with them, so my mom would get us up at 5 in the morning. We would go to Grandpa and Grandma's, and whatever the day that they had planned, we would be in on that because they surely wouldn't leave us there alone, right? We could get in trouble. They could come back and their home not be there. So they would take us with it. And if we were on proper behavior, if we conducted ourselves in a way that was, you know, better than average, I guess, we would get a special treat. I still remember it like it was yesterday. We would get to go to a store called McClellan's in Concord. It was a five and dime. Now, today it may be a $10 and $20, but then it was called a five and dime. And more was better. One of my favorite treats that I enjoyed so much was being able to walk in those doors, and their candy rack was right there when you go in. And it looked like to me then it was farthest from here to the back of the worship center here. And you would go down through there looking. One of my favorite things was chocolate-covered raisins. I still like them. But I would press my face up against there, and I would read how much it was a pound. Now, see, that was more expensive. So you didn't get as much if you went for the big good stuff. And you would see them measured out and put them in a bag and fold it. You know, you could fill them in there, but it wasn't a lot. It wasn't a bag full. And I remember one day it was in the summer. I couldn't have been about five, I guess. I wasn't in school or either. I was maybe started school. But I remember this time when we walked in and I was looking down the candy rack. We had been good. No fighting in the back seat. No yelling or screaming or rolling the windows down, rolling them back up, and doing all that stuff that we do as a kid. We were on our very best behavior, and I would look over at my brother, and he would make a little face, but nobody called us, so it was okay. But I walked in that store that day, and I thought, you know what? It's going to be a good day. Grandma was all right, and she had had her checkup, and everything was good, and they asked, did we want to go to McClellan's? We both said right away, yes, because we knew there was treats coming. I walked into that place and they had candy canes of M&M's about that big. A lot of M&M's. And we thought, you know, we get more by getting M&M's than we do getting Raisinets. So let's go for the big deal. And we rounded the corner and saw a candy cane. Folks, it had to be this high. I couldn't walk with it. It was higher than I could walk at that age. And about that big around. full of M&Ms. And we said, you know, I mean, even at that age, we understood that more is better, right? And it wasn't but 5 cents more. Grandpa said, you know, you get more with this and you do this smaller, when they had them on sale. I said, yes, that's good with me. My brother said, yes, that's good with me. So we said, that's what we wanted. Are you sure? Yes, that's what we wanted. Because more is better. We got in the back seat. We didn't wear seat belts in those days. You just jump in and sit however you want to sit. And we cracked the seals on those things, that candy cane, turned the handle and you could hear it snap. And the lid came off. And we would just like take one and put it in our mouth and say, you know, that's great. And then it would be two and three. And I see, we had to come from Concord. My grandfather never drove above 55, even on the downhill slope. So you're looking at about a 40-minute ride from Concord to where we live. And by the time we got back to the house, we had made a pretty good dent in those things. We'd hold them up side by side to see who had the most, you know, and where we were at. So one wouldn't run out and the other one wouldn't have any. We got back home, and man, we was having a glorious day. We got back home, and we took our army men and went out to the big oak where we could get them in their tree roots and play an army with the figurines, you know. It wasn't long before Grandma called and said, you guys want lunch? We said, you know what? We had to go to the doctor. It's already cut into our day. Let's just skip lunch. I mean, we've got our M&Ms. Let's just skip lunch, and we can play longer. We could get by with almost anything with Grandpa and Grandma. I guess they loved us unconditionally. So we skipped lunch, and we did begin to get hungry because of that. But we had those M&Ms, and we kept eating. Hey, you know what? It's not that bad. We can still play and eat M&Ms at the same time. Folks, by the end of that day, I was so sick. I can't tell you. And I won't paint you an ugly picture, but trust me, M&M's is a lot rougher coming up than they're going down. That marked me for life. That's been 55 years ago, and I still don't eat M&M's. I will not eat an M&M. I can eat the peanut ones, but not the regular ones. So sometimes more is not better. Sometimes more is hazardous to us. More is what the world says is better. That's not what God says. The world has a different view of what's better. The world's views are very easily conformed. The world's views, and y'all relax, I'm not going to moonwalk. The world's views fit us like a glove, right? They're designed to do that. It takes no effort for this thing. I can sling it, it won't come off. It fits. It fits very well. And this is much how the world does. It fits. Because of our nature, because of what we were born into, it fits. It's comfortable. But if I put both these gloves on, I couldn't play these instruments, could I? It would be cumbersome in what I was doing. I couldn't sit at a keyboard and do my work on a computer. The intricate things of life I couldn't do. The things that are important, the intense things. It would be a hindrance. I can't turn these pages and get to the right one. So things of this world fit good, but they're not necessarily good for us. And the longer you keep this on, the more comfortable you get with it, the harder it is to come off. I'm sweating already. My hands are sweating in this glove. And it comes off hard, see? It comes off harder than it went on. But that's the way the world does. That's the way it's designed to do. to entrap you and entangle you in your life and make you blind to the things that are true. And starting in today's lesson, it's better to have less of what doesn't matter and more of what does. That's contrary to what we were just talking about, isn't it? It's better to have less of what doesn't matter and more of what does matter. And for each of us, that's different because each of us have a separate life. We're all different. We're designed to be different. We all are individuals designed with that. We have a different fingerprint. We have a different DNA. We are different, and we were designed to be that. You guys are so special. God has designed something just for you in your life. And if we get entangled into things of this world and we're all drugged down by those things and concentrating on those things, we never get to the important stuff. We never see the finer things. Ecclesiastes 4:6 says this: better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. There used to be a show on that was, I forget the name of it, but they would put them in a plexiglass box and they would blow money in there and you could get to keep whatever you caught. And I watched it. They would actually lose what they had trying to get more. They would lose what was already in their hand trying to achieve more, trying to get more. And that was the object of the game. Those that were blowing that money in there enjoyed that, I'm sure. But many times, you come up with nothing. It's better to have one handful of tranquility. And what does that do? If you have one handful, you have another free hand to help someone who is in need, to give someone a hug when the trouble is there, to do God's work. Remember Gabe preaching that sermon? He had a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other. That's the way Nehemiah planned it. Today, I want us to concentrate on the finer things. God's Word tells us that one handful of tranquility is better than two with toil. We can bog ourselves down. We can have six cars and six car payments, and we can be struggling from week to week, worrying and so focused on that we can't focus on anything else. We can have things so entangled around our lives that we can't see clearly. We can't focus on what's important. Jesus says this in Luke 12:15. Then Jesus said unto them, watch out. That's a warning, folks. That's a warning from Jesus himself. Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Sometimes we live as though that's what it depends on. How much stuff we got creates our stature in the world. It creates our importance. The more stuff, the more powerful you are. I get so frustrated many times when I watch the news and things of the things that go on around us. And it's easy to get wrapped up in that. But then I stop and I think, you know what? God's already told us how things are going to go. Why should it be a surprise? Right? Why should it be a surprise? If we trust God, it don't matter who's in the president's seat. It doesn't matter who is in the United Nations. It doesn't matter who is the president of Russia, China, or anywhere else. God's still on the throne, and he's still God. And he can make them walk like puppets to bend to his will, whether they know him or not. God is in control. But our life is not measured by the abundance of our possessions. It's not how much we have, it's what we have that matters. I used to, I do now. I enjoy the shooting sports. And one of the people that I buy from, just because he amuses me, and I guess that's a marketing ploy too, but it always has his wife in his commercials. And she'll say, "Honey, how many firearms do you need?" And he'll say, "Just one more. Just one more." "Ladies, how many shoes do we need?" "Just one more," right? There's nothing wrong with things, folks. I hope all of you are in abundance in those areas. But those are the things that doesn't matter. Those are the things we enjoy. We have to have them. We have to have a job. But it can't be more important than anything else. Luke 12:21 says this. "This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich towards God." And if you read on in Luke, it will tell you of a guy that had a crop that was so huge, it baffled him. He didn't know what to do with it. He said, "What can I do? I've got an abundance of all that I needed. I know what I'll do. I'll tear down the barns that's full, and I'll build bigger ones. I'll stuff them full of grain, and I'll kick back, and I'll rest, and I'll eat, drink, and be merry." That sounds like a plan, doesn't it? He had more than he could use. So he's going to tear down his barns and build new, bigger ones to hold all that he achieved. But the next verse, it said, God said, "You fool. Your life is required of you tonight." See, that's the way we need to live, folks, because, you know, we're not promised tomorrow. If you had that facing you, and many of you do, but if you had that facing you, what would be important? I don't think if you would go to Facebook or Twitter that it would be your bank account would be number one on the list. I don't think it would be, "Hey, my career means all to me." Not on that day. If we were faced with that, what would be the most important things? We need to define what matters most in our lives. Those things are important. You have to make a living. You have to have a job. You have to do certain things. We have to pay taxes. We have to do those things. But what's the most important thing? What means the most to us when everything is settled and done? First has to be God, folks. It has to be. God says that He is a jealous God, and He'll have no other gods before Him. And folks, that doesn't just mean Allah or Buddha. We like to categorize things to make it easy on ourselves, but it doesn't mean just Allah or Buddha or some famous name. It can be anything or anybody that you put before God. Not your spouse, not your children. Now, those are important, and they would have to be on the list. But when you're looking at the things that matter, if God is not first in your life, He will not be any place. He's not going to settle for second. He's not going to come in behind something else. So God has to be important. Now, we're talking about a God here that's holy, a God that is just, a God that we can't reach humanly. We can't come in the presence of God. We can't acknowledge God on our own. We can't pray. to God without some help. So God has to be number one. He won't settle for anything less. It can be a car, it can be a house, it can be anything that you put before God. That will be your God. If God's not first, He's not going to be any place for you. So what is second? Second has to be a key factor also. It has to be Jesus. This is not on the screen, but I'll tell you. John 14:6. You can write that down if you're taking notes. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one," and that means no one, "comes to the Father except through me." So Jesus has to be a key part of that. We have no access to God without Him. He said He's the only way. That's why God sent Him. These are the things that are important in our lives, because this determines your eternal life. The third thing is peace. Folks, if you have peace through God in Jesus Christ, there's no other peace that compares to that. It can take you through hardships. It can take you through loss, disease, sickness, even death. It can take you places that you could not have managed without them. So these are keys in our life. It is also important about our families, our church family, our community. There's people that don't know about these things. That's our responsibility to tell. Jesus said that's an important part of our life. We have many things that we can do. We have things that we can concentrate on. We have things that that bog us down, that we don't need to happen. And folks, I'm telling you, I drive an old truck. I enjoy that truck. I have since I bought it. It's a 99 model with 230,000 miles, and I wouldn't trade it for a new one right now. I enjoy that thing. And I know God gave me that when He did it. I knew that happened. No telling how many miles it'll go if I take care of it. See, that's a responsibility of mine, to take care of it. To value the things God that I know God has provided. But it can't be more important than God. And folks, just like that glove that I had on, it fits because that's the way the world is designed to be. Satan designs those things. They make it attractive. Hey, if I had three cars, four would be better. You know what? I could trade my old truck in for a Lamborghini. And then I look at those cars. It's funny to look at. I don't understand how people do it. I crack a fender on that front fender on that thing. That's $45,000 for a fender. So I don't need anything like that. I don't need a house that cost me $500,000 or $600,000. Because you know what? I could probably live there 30 days. And then that would be it. They would say, "Get out." But see, it's not about the things we have, folks. It's not about a house. It's about a home. And there's a big difference. It's about being content with where you're at. And not saying, "You know what? Oh, so-and-so down the block just got a brand new car. I'm getting one too." It's about saying, "You know what? God's blessed me, and I can enjoy my life. I can enjoy walking with God each and every day. I can enjoy opening God's Word and reading that and knowing it's a fact." But the world will sidetrack you. The world will tell you, contrary to what you know to be true, more is better. More things are better. But folks, the finer things, and we walk around this life in static, interference and background noise. That's what keeps us not focused on what we're doing. But like the glove, it takes no effort for it to stay on your hand. It'll stay there. But the finer things takes a little more effort. I need y'all to work with me this morning. Can you hold up two hands, one for God and one for Jesus? Take your other hand and wrap around that and put some pressure on that. Just hold it until I tell you to let go. Focus on it. See, we're having to put forth some effort. You're having to put forth some effort. The finer things, if I don't use any effort, the sand just falls through my fingers if I don't hold it. But I can take this and put some effort towards it, and I can hold sand, even the finer things. I can hold it. Even with my bad arm, I can hold it. It's not falling out. I'm concentrating on it. I don't want it to fall out, because these are the finer things of God. It takes effort to hold it. The glove stays there. These things takes effort. You can't say, God, I accept Jesus, and I want it to be that way, and I got a home in heaven, and hoorah, I'm not going to worry about it anymore. You can't be obedient without knowing what God wants in His Word. You can't have a relationship with God without prayer. You can't focus on the things of God unless we give an effort. You guys made an effort today. You got, every one of you today chose to be at URA Community Church this morning. You chose to do that. Many did not. And I thank God for you that comes. I know some of you are sick today. They told me that, and they're here anyway. I'm thankful for those people that are so dedicated and give that effort. They give an effort for God. You guys don't open your hands. Just relax and pull your fingers out. See how easily that hand conforms? It still wants to stay there where you had it because you gave effort. Is that right? Did it stay there? If we focus and give effort on the things that matter, God takes care of the rest. He allows us to be part of His program. We don't deserve that. He just allows it. When He created man last, even in the Garden of Eden, He said, you can have all that's here, all except this one tree. And Satan came and said, listen, God's holding out on you guys. I mean, you have all but one. What does that say? And that was the fall. They couldn't stand it, not having the one that He asked them not to do. That's the way the world cloaks itself and disguises itself, folks, and fools us into thinking, you know what? More is better. More stuff. How about if we take that and apply it to God? More of God in our life. More of what Jesus Christ showed us by example what to do. More Bible reading. We need to get to a one handful of living so the other hand's free to do. We can drag ourselves down by having so many things and so many distractions that you can say, you know, these things aren't important. I got to get this done. I've got myself into a hole and I've got to dig it out. One handful of living. Here's the key that the Bible says. Let go of what doesn't matter. Folks, this sounds silly. My family gives me things that they know I enjoy. Hats. I wear a hat 99% of the time. This is the only place I don't. Maybe I should. I hope y'all are not offended by that or can see. I can't see y'all. Maybe you can see me. But one of the things that my family does, they know I enjoy hats. They give me hats. I have some so special, I haven't even worn them. They're in my closet in a special place. They said, well, you don't get any use out of them. I said, but I know they're there. So I've had to take a look, a long, hard look at what I'm doing. Maybe I should enjoy them. That's why they gave them to me, to enjoy. But if you've got a coat hanging in your closet and you haven't worn it in 5 years, do you really need that? It's made me think about a lot of things. Hebrews 12:1 says this, "Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that is so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." Each one of you, God has a plan for. Every one of us, God has a plan for you. He's mapped it out. Every one of you is important. Every one of you is an individual, and God recognizes you. Some people say, well, if I'm not church today, they're not going to notice I'm not there. They do. I usually stand at the door every day and I look for you. And I pray for you. That if anything's hindering, that it'll be taken away, out of your way. So we can come and worship together. Folks, we've got a God that loves us so intently. He has a name for His love that is above all. It's a special love that nobody has but Him. He loves you so much. He loves you so much, He gave His very best, Jesus Christ. You're special. The Greek word for this throw off is a casting down, a effort to cast it down away from you. He said, all things that hinder. There's a lot of things that hinder us. We get caught up in them so easily. Three things here that we can do. One is to cut back. Cut back. Now that's not more, is it? That's not more. But it may be more of the things you need most. More of the important things, the finer things. The world sees finer things as better things, more expensive things, a higher scale of standard. God sees things in a different light. Cut back on things. How many of you know that if you have 5 brand new cars, the payments are going to be high? And it might put a strain on you, right? I know it would me. So why get them if they're going to put me in a place that I'm all the time just tensed up and I can't figure out what I'm going to do, and I'm striving and striving to do more and pay more. Maybe I can work Saturday and Sunday and make enough money on overtime to do those things. But see, when you do that, you're not here. I'm not condemning working on Sunday. The Bible will tell you whatever your employer requires you to do so as a slave. Work for him and do a good job. People, that's the age today. A lot of 7 days on shifts and 12 hours and all these things. But we can cut back on the things that put pressure on us in our lives. God's not going to put pressure on you, folks. He's going to love you. He's going to comfort you. He's going to give you peace. A peace that not like you've never known. He's going to allow you to be in this world and not be of it. He's going to allow you to say, you know what? I'd rather be comfortable right where I'm at, and I'm worshiping God, and my family's healthy, and I've got these things going on with me. Even through sickness, folks, God is there. God has got it. It may not look to us like from the outside, but God is still on the throne, and He's still God. He is the things that matter. He's the important things in your life. We need to throw out some things. Throw out the clutter. This glove that I put on, I would have put both of them on, but I got stung yesterday by something, and my hand still hurts. I didn't see what it was, but it hurt. Those gloves on my hands, they hamper me in some of the things. I could cut the fingers out. I won't do that because that's a nice set of riding gloves that I used to use. But I could cut the fingers out of that, and I might play one of these instruments. I might could do other things. But see, it's cut away. You have to cut away and throw down the things that hinder you. We have to have cars. We have to have homes. We have to have things, folks. You'll never hear, please don't leave here today saying that I'm against all those things. I'm not. But don't let things of this world smother you into taking away the joy of your life. Don't let things hamper you in the way God wants you to live. God wants you happy. God wants you to have peace. He wants to have a relationship with you to where every day you're praying to Him. You want to shock yourselves, folks. I did this some years back. Write down each time how many times a day you pray. That'll shock you. It shocked me because I was spending more time doing other things than I was talking to God. I found I need Him. I need to talk to Him, not just in times of distress or times of peril, but every day. I heard my grandfather preach a sermon one time, and I was just a kid. They made us go. We'd have to sit in the front row. They made me go. And he was hard at it. You'd see the veins in his neck bulging and everything. And I remember one sermon he was talking about. He said, sometimes when we're walking along in the creek, we're in ankle-deep water, and you'd look at God, I got this. I'm all right. I don't need you right now. And you get out knee-deep and waist-deep, and you keep going till you're out over your head. That's when you cling to God and call on Him, when we're over our heads. He wants to hold your hand when you're up in ankle-deep water too. And that made more sense to me than a lot of things that I heard. God wants a relationship with you every day. He wants you to stay connected to Him and cut out these things, cut back on things and throw out these things and even turn off these things. There's a problem in our society today. Ron mentioned it last week. Cell phones. We all say, I've got one in my pocket. They call them smartphones now. Just don't let them be smarter than you. Know when you don't need that thing. Now, it's convenient. I understand the sales pitch. Hey, they got family plans now. You can get 5 or 6 phones for everybody. Everybody's got one. But something wrong with that is sitting around the dinner table in the afternoon when you're trying to have family time and enjoy a meal together. And someone says, how was your day? And you're sitting there. And 2 minutes later, you say, it's okay. How about you? 2 minutes later, they'll answer you back after they get finished texting. Don't let the phones own you. You own it. Use it. A computer. That's another. I used it to prepare this message. I was using my commentaries and things to prepare this. It's a good thing, but it can be misused, see? It's all in our attitude and how we do. It's what we think is important. It's what we value in our life. Folks, I'm all for technology. I can't use it like many of you can, but I use it that suits me. I'm all for technology. I wouldn't expect you to throw your washer out the back door and go to beating your clothes out on a rock at the creek anymore, right? But if it saves us so much time, where does our time go? How many of you are busy all week long? Busy, busy, busy. Yeah, it happens. There's a time, folks. It's okay to say, no, I'm not going to do this. I'd like to, but I'm at full tilt right now. It's okay to say no, because you need peace in your life. You can work for the church and work yourself to the bone. There's plenty of opportunity for that. Do what you can do and do what God's gifted you to do and leave it at that. Because you know what? There's more of us than one. We're like spokes in a wheel, all of us. And we all serve a purpose because God said so. God made you have a purpose. God gave you a purpose of importance. But there's things in our lives that we could change to refocus and gather our life back and take it out of that whirlwind of the world. It's like a vacuum. You step over just a little too far and it just sucks you right in. But some things we do need to turn off. Secondly, we need to fight for what does matter. Fight. Fight is giving effort, holding on to those finer things. Knowing what's important and what's not. Letting go of the things that aren't important when you don't have it 24 hours in a day. You can't do 26 hours worth of things and get sleep. And you do that many days in a row, and you start getting tired, and you start getting fatigued, and you can't focus on anything. So keep your focus. Keep that effort and focus on God. Let the other things fall where they may, because I promise you, folks, sometimes it doesn't look like it, but God has it. He's got things under control. He's not going to leave you hanging, folks. That's the beauty of it all. God's so great and so big, but He can be small enough to be involved in each of our lives every day. Fight for what does matter. Nehemiah 4:14 says this, "Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes." See, now God's saying fight for those things. But you have to have things in order for it to work. We can't leave God and once every 3 months when we have trouble, call on Him and Him say, "Oh, I'm right here for you." He wants it every day. He wants a relationship with you. He wants to be important in your life. We can't make it without God. I don't believe anybody in here would say that. And has God ever let me down? I'll tell you now straight, yes. As far as my feelings go, as far as what I think that should have happened, yes. My prayers didn't go my way sometimes. But folks, when I have come to grips with that, and I've confronted God, I did what you said, and you're not holding your end of the bargain. God shows me a better way. He shows me that He was there. He shows me that He was in control and the right things happened when they should have. So I have complete trust in God. Isn't that a part of faith? Trusting God. Not questioning Him. Just saying, "You know what? I know You're going to do the very best for me. I know that You want the best for me in my life. Am I going to have hurts and problems? Sure. But that's a part of life." That's when you lean on God even more. Back to our memory verse, Ecclesiastes 4:6. Better one handful of tranquility than two hands full of toil and chasing the wind. You catch the wind, what have you got? There's nothing. There's nothing there. Efforts for nothing. Scripture tells us that it's better to have one handful of things that matter than two handfuls of toil and strife and chasing the wind. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for today and thank You for Your word. Thank You for all that You do for us each and every day. Father, I pray today that we live a life trusting in You and Your word. Living a one-handed life where we do have a free hand to do other things. I pray, dear God, that You open our eyes and let us see. Let us use your word and apply it to our lives. Grow us in spirit and in truth. Let us always look to you for the important things, the finer things in life. Because nothing can compare with your love, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.